I think there's something very strange in the fifth commandment. And the strangeness is not the part we all know, honor thy father and thy mother, but what follows. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, how do you equate that your days be long upon the land with honoring your father and your mother? We've always heard it as just honoring thy father and thy mother. But here it says, if you do, your days will be long upon the land. Right there, we should have suspected there was a different meaning in honoring father, mother. The land being your consciousness, it would be intimating that life will be of a different nature when you are in the awareness of who father, mother are. I wondered if Jesus had disobeyed that commandment when he said to his own mother, woman, what have I to do with thee? Here is the master teacher turning to his own mother and not honoring her. This wouldn't seem to be a way to honor your mother. What have I to do with thee? Now you know the answer to that. And then later, in this passage in Matthew, we get the fullness of what he was really telling us. And you'll find it in Matthew 12. We'll start there with the 46th verse. He had just done some healing work, and while he talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Now, it doesn't say his cousins, by the way. It says his brethren. His mother and his brethren stood outside desiring to speak with him. And then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Now, surely he read the fifth commandment. And then he replied, but he answered and said unto them, unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And we should have said to ourselves, why did he say this? And then he gave us the answer. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, toward his disciples, behold my mother and my brethren. Now, how could his disciples be his mother? Even if he had said, behold my brethren, we could have said, fine, I can understand that. But how can you point to John, Peter, and the rest and say, behold my mother and my brethren? We have to answer that. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. These disciples who are doing the will of God which is in heaven. These are my brethren, my sister, and my mother. Of course, it shouldn't perplex us any longer. But the question now is, what is the Master Teacher teaching us that we must do? It isn't enough to say, I understand. We're not in the word phase of this work anymore. What am I going to do about it? And so we put it all together now, and we find that I, Spirit, God, am the only source, the only creator. I think we can take this down. There being no second creator, creation must be the creation of the one source. And so, Father is now the creator, the source, the will, and mother is that which the source creates. We are being taught that manifestation in this world is not spirit. We are being taught about false manifestation. The only cause being spirit, the only manifestation is spirit. And therefore, invisible to you and to me is the manifestation of spirit. We have always been willing to do the will of God. But even in our willingness, we have not had the capacity. Anyone who loves God wishes to do the will of God, but does not know how. And now the Master, through the fifth commandment and through Jesus, is teaching us how to fulfill the will of God. This is deeper than healing a broken bone, deeper than any human type healing that we know of. This is the greater works. If ye believe on me, the works that I do ye shall do, and greater works shall ye do. And this is the teaching of the greater works. The greater works are, how can you honor the manifestation of God, which is the mother? Spirit is the only source, and spirit is the only manifestation. If you're going to honor father and mother, you must honor source and its manifestation. And if the word of God to you is absolute, if you take no options and say, whatever God says do, I do, then the only way you can comply and fulfill this commandment is to honor spiritual manifestation. This is the added thing which had not been in the first four commandments. The world has been unaware of spiritual manifestation. I love God, but I do not love God's spiritual manifestation. Or I will obey the will of God, but I will not honor the manifestation of that will. And spirit does not leave any stones unturned. There is no conscious union with God ever to be affected by physical manifestation. The human being cannot be in conscious union with God. We are being given by this commandment the secret of removing separation. Here's God's Spirit perfect power, action, will. And then here's human manifestation. No connection. And so God government doesn't protect. God government doesn't take the ship at sea and prevent it from being drowned. God government doesn't take the boy at war and prevent him from being shot. It's human manifestation. It's not connected to divine will, divine power, divine energy. That human manifestation outside the government of divine will is the error that is being corrected by saying, Anna, not only your father, but your mother, because your mother is divine manifestation. Your father is divine will, divine ideation. And that will, that idea, that perfect divine ideal is now invisibly manifested right here. That's the point of Anna, thy mother. And when he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? He's telling us that doesn't mean Anna, your human physical mother. That's what you're going to do, but that is not the spiritual teaching. To Anna, your invisible, infinite manifestation is to honor your mother. Every mother, every physical mother must do this. Every physical father, every physical child. We must all honor the invisible manifestation of divine will. And then when you stay with that a while, it dawns on you that it is saying you must get out of that physical form concept. It gets you in every turn, you notice? No matter where you go, you're right back to it. Get out of the physical form. Why? Because the physical form is not divine manifestation. It's not under the law of God. And so when we learn that there are two kinds of manifestation, the spiritual and the appearance called manifestation, we learn why it also tells us, judge not after the appearance. Judge ye no man after the flesh. There are now two kinds of manifestation pointed up by this commandment. One is spiritual, and the other is the counterfeit of the spiritual. Spirit, the source, is one with spirit, the manifestation. In your very first class, you worked with, there is no place where God begins and I end. No place where God begins and ends, and no place where I begin and end. There is no separation so that God ends here and I begin here. And that is because you are not physical manifestation. You are divine manifestation. There is no place where spirit, source, ends and divine manifestation begins. But you can't take this human form and call it divine manifestation. You are divine manifestation, and therefore you are not the opposite. To honor your mother as well as your father, the greater works you must do is total, total transformation. From the sense of physical manifestation to the reality of divine manifestation. Well, that's clear. And now we have to go about making our adjustment in consciousness. It isn't referring only to human bodies. There is no physical manifestation that is the will of God. None. Spirit manifests spiritually. The invisible universe of spiritual manifestation is the earth that is the Lord's. As there are two kinds of flesh, two kinds of manifestation, there are two kinds of earth. There is the spiritual earth, which is the manifestation of our Father which art in heaven. And there is the visible appearance earth, which is the counterfeit manifestation of the human mind. The earth is the Lord's. And that does not refer to the visible earth. It refers to your mother, divine manifestation, the divine earth, which is not visible. Later you read in Revelation, I see a new heaven, a new earth. And this new earth is the divine manifestation becoming visible to those who live in the soul. Now we're going to obey the fifth commandment, or we're going to disobey it. And if we accept the evils of this world, it is because we are not willing to honor both mother and father. Divine manifestation, mother, has no evils in it. Divine manifestation, mother, is one with the will, the father. Mother and father are one. Nothing can enter to defile. And so if we have atom bombs, hydrogen bombs, germs, diseases, and we believe they're there, we are honoring not father, mother, but we are honoring the world mind. If we see imperfection and accept it, we are not honoring that which is the perfect mother. You can look then and see that divine source, which is the only, cannot produce imperfection. And so all imperfection that you see is false manifestation. And therefore, false manifestation is not accepted. Because I know that where false manifestation appears, the invisible spiritual manifestation is. It's very much like graven images, except that it tells you that all visible objects are not from the divine source. That all visible objects are only an appearance world, and there is a true manifestation present which you can learn to live in. Now in this doing, this transformation, you are now beginning to know that unless you accept your soul body, which is divine manifestation, you are not one with the Father. You are not one with the Father until you are living consciously in the knowledge that my soul body is the invisible manifestation that is here. Your soul body is the mother spoken of in the fifth commandment. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In other words, the will of God is to give you the kingdom. You must honor that will by accepting that it is present and functioning. And then you must honor that it is functioning as the cause of that which it wishes to give you. It wishes to give you its allness. And that allness that it gives you is the invisible divine manifestation, which you must honor as well as the will. By accepting the perfection of invisible manifestation now as everything you need, you honor the will and the manifestation. Before, man was honoring by faith alone, but not by the greater works. And so he could not find the key to rebirth. when I honor divine manifestation as my being, as your being, it is said that my life in the land that God gives us will be lengthened. And that means eternal life. When I honor divine manifestation, I honor it by living outside the beliefs of my human mind. Dwell for a moment on the truth that the earth is the Lord's. And you know nothing is excluded because the fullness thereof is specifically mentioned. Now, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then earth that we know is not the earth of the Lord. Because on this earth there is much bloodshed, much cruelty, much inhumanity. On this earth there are many appearances called evil. On this earth man dies. Now when we say that the earth is the Lord's, we're talking about the spiritual manifestation that the human eye cannot see. And we're realizing that it is present. The earth, the spirit of the Lord, the invisible kingdom, the invisible earth, the invisible manifestation is present, and we, looking at it through human eyes, see a visible material earth, which is only in our mind. You are asked to honor that invisible earth. When you look at an invisible body, you see a visible body. The visible body you see is not the divine manifestation, and therefore it is an imitation. Only the Spirit of God is source. Only the Spirit of God is manifestation. Whatever is not spiritual manifestation is imitation. We cannot honor the physical world, the physical ocean, the physical mountain, the physical body, the physical evils, and honor father and mother. And so we're walking through a new portal here. We're accepting invisible manifestation in all its perfection, eternally perfect. We're going beyond faith into the works. And now it is your function. Your function is clearer. In fact, your function is stated. Your function is to externalize, to bring into visible manifestation that invisible spiritual manifestation of the Father. You must express the manifestation of God. You must redeem the physical world. You must redeem the physical body. Father says to you directly, be ye perfect. Manifest only my manifestation. When you look out upon the physical world, which is not the spiritual manifestation, and you see what is not there, this should be a clue to you that the faculty you are seeing with, which sees what God did not create and does not govern, That faculty must be as much a mirage as the mirage it sees. When you see physical universe around you, a physical man, a physical woman, a physical tree, a physical plant, when you see oceans polluted, when you see waters rising up and drowning people, when you see avalanches of the earth, when you see earthquakes, when you see molten lava drowning people in its heat, you're not looking at God's creation. You're not looking at spiritual manifestation, but you're seeing it. And you're seeing what cannot be there because Source, God, does not create imperfection. What are you seeing? A mirage. And if you're seeing a mirage, what are you seeing it with? Another mirage. And so we're being told that the human mind is a mirage. It does not see the divine manifestation. It sees the imperfect manifestation. And the imperfect mind sees the imperfect manifestation. And so again, in order to honor Mother Father, in order to walk in the invisible manifestation consciously, you cannot trust the human mind. Who is your mother? Whoever does the will of your father. The will of your Father is that ye be perfect, that you live as perfect manifestation. I'd like you to look at Joshua, the 10th chapter. In the early stages of the Bible, this was rather meaningless to most of us, but after a comprehension of the divine manifestation, we begin to see what Joshua was telling us here. This is chapter 10, starting at the 5th verse. You remember the five husbands of the woman at the well. You remember the five porches at the poolside near the sheep market. Now, these five kings are the same. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves. Now this is the five senses. They're called kings. These five senses have gathered themselves. They're going to be part of that which we look out with and see the false manifestation. These five kings gathered themselves. And they present a picture to us. And that's the picture we fight against. Because the five senses say, there's a fire. See the smoke? There's a flood. See the water rise? Those are the five kings that are spoken of here. And they went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and they made war against it. Now, the five senses, then, are always in a state of war against reality. They can't see it, they can't comprehend it, they can't touch it, they can't experience it, And so they're in a state of war, conflict. And that's normal with us as human beings. And all the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not the hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So you would say that Joshua is a Christ figure, because the Christ is going to help those who are assailed by the five kings. Those who are living within their five senses are going to find relief from Joshua, the Christ figure. The important thing here is how they get their relief. So Joshua ascends from Gilgad, and he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Now let's suppose that you were witnessing an evil in this world of some kind. Let's say there was a plague, this virus they had a week ago, and it was infecting everybody. No one knew what it was. People were dying off, and it still continued. Nobody could diagnose exactly what kind of virus it was. Now, this would be the five kings reporting, look, they're dying. And you would have to figure out, what are you going to do? And in this case, you would go to Joshua, which would be your Christ center. And your Christ center would now begin to pull in divine thought, try to stretch it into your inner self so that you would become aware of divine thought and push it through you into your consciousness, so that you would have something to fight those five senses which are telling you that there is this terrible virus and that you're next. And so this is what's happening here. And this is what happens in us. Joshua has a solution. He's going to honor his father and his mother. And it's going to be expressed in a beautiful way. A way that once you hear it becomes unforgettable. He not only knows the fifth commandment, but it is part of his living consciousness to automatically honor only divine manifestation, so that he can look at the appearance of physical manifestation and be undismayed, unconvinced, unwavering. He has solidified the knowledge that spirit can only create spiritual manifestation, and there is no other cause, no other source. Therefore, what is this? This nothing appearing as five kings making war against me. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them unto thee, unto thine hand, and there shall be not a man of them stand before thee. This is telling us about the nothingness of the so-called attack. Everybody sees it, everybody's afraid of it, but the Lord says to Joshua, don't worry about it. It's already done. I have delivered them unto thine hand. You just go through the outer motions and watch that it isn't there as it appears to be. Don't have to heal anybody. They're not hurting. The divine manifestation there is perfect and untouched. Recognize it. That's all. Recognize it. And that means accept it. And do not accept its opposite in the appearance world. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgad all night. Sounds like he was meditating. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Akkakah and unto Makkedah. I pronounced a few of them wrong, but you get the idea. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. Now the hailstones are truth. The sword, you know. Truth destroyed them, is what we're being told. More died with truth in consciousness than with a sword. But we're coming now to the point. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still. Moon, stand thou still in the valley of Avilon. Joshua telling the sun and the moon to stand still. And that's the fifth commandment. Think about it a moment. Honor thy father and honor thy mother. And the sun stood still. And the moon stayed upon until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Now the sun is the symbol of the father. The moon is the symbol of the mother. The sun shining upon the moon. The will of God shining forth as its own manifestation. The light of the sun shining forth on the moon. Divine manifestation expresses the will of the Father. The moon expresses the light of the sun. When the sun and the moon stood still, Joshua within himself had accomplished the oneing, the equilibrium, the conscious union of his own inner self, his own soul body manifestation with the spirit, the will of God. In the outer it appeared as the sun and the moon standing still. He had honored divine manifestation and divine will. He had honored source and its effect, not the visible effect of man-made eyes. That was the fifth commandment in action. And of course, there was no way to connect it up at the time because we still needed the New Testament of Jesus Christ and some of the things that we've learned from the Infinite Way. But the point is clear that whenever you are faced with anything that affects the sense of eye or touch or taste or smell or hearing, these are the five kings, and they're always lying, they're always attacking, they're always making a claim on you. They shout about everything you can think of that has nothing to do with God, and we live in these claims. They spur us on to false goals. Now honor your divine manifestation, not the five kings. Honor the perfection of God's present manifestation. Source and effect are one in spirit, but two if you are living in a human mind. Conscious union with God is the honoring of source and effect as one. Son, stand thou still. I am seeing there the perfect will of God. The invisible light of God appearing to human sense as the sun. He's talking about the invisible will of God, the Father. And I am standing still in the acceptance of that perfect will, which is represented by the symbol sun in this episode. And because the perfect will is shining, it is shining perfect light, and its manifestation is perfect. Stand thou still, moon. You must manifest perfect light because it's coming to you from the perfect source. My body must be perfect because it is made by the perfect source. Your body must be perfect. It is made by the perfect source. The honoring of the fifth commandment is the key to rebirth. When you honor perfect source, you must honor perfect manifestation, and that is yourself. If you are not perfect manifestation, you are not honoring your Father. You are rejecting God. If you are not perfect spiritual self, you reject the Father. You reject God. Your own invisible body is the mother you're honoring. Your invisible body is mother. It is the perfect manifestation of the perfect Father. And it is one with the Father. I, the Father, and I, the Son, are one. The will and the manifestation are not separated. I am Mother, Father. I am will, I am manifestation of will. I am the power of the will to maintain its manifestation. You are being given identity with a greater depth than before by this command. Now, when anyone says that you have a problem physically, if you accept it, you're denying your true spiritual manifestation. And you're violating the fifth commandment. You see, spirit will not let you have a way out of truth. You're not only I, but you're I manifest. And divine manifestation is the opposite of the graven image which thou shalt not make. Now, there are many subtleties to this. Every time you accept any form of manifestation that is not divine, you are separated. And so this is only for those who can walk consciously in divine manifestation, honoring it only and nothing else. That is the sacred path to perfection. I'd like to meditate with you. We will meditate on both parts of the fifth commandment. When we say, "Thy will be done," we must understand that the will of God is being done. Everywhere. That which is not the will of God has no cause, no source, and therefore is not being done. Nothing can be done that is not the will of God. That which is not the will of God must be a false appearance. The will of God is perfection. It is stated thusly, and therefore all that is not perfect, because it is not the will of God, is not being done. There is no such thing as imperfection. It has no creator. In our meditation, we are realizing that imperfection is not the will of God. And we are accepting that the will of God is being done. And we are cleansing ourselves of the belief in imperfection as even a remote possibility. We see a world fooled by the imperfect appearance. Nothing is imperfect, for God's will is the supreme and only will, and its will is that we be perfect. This is a cleansing of all belief in imperfection. Every time you accept an imperfection, you deny the omnipresence of the one and only will of God. Instead of denying the will of God, we learn to deny the mind that sees the imperfection. Deny thyself. Do not deny the will of God. It is working. Then why do we see the problem? Why do we see the error? Because we're looking through a human mind. That doesn't put it there. That makes us think it's there. And so truth in consciousness says, even though you see it there, it cannot be there because the will of God is functioning now.